Good morning. If you would turn with me into your copy of God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 57 and 58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
No matter how hard we try, we are not always at our best, are we? Now, the Orr family and I, we just got back from polishing the pulpit, and there is a syndrome I lovingly call post-PTP syndrome. You didn't know how exhausted you were until you got home. And I tried to prepare for this. I had Cherie pick out the shirt, the tie, and the slacks that I would wear today. She invested several minutes yesterday looking at various ties, various shirts, and slack combinations because she knew that I am not at my best at the present moment. One thing we failed to consider: my socks. And as I looked at my socks this morning, one was navy and the other one was black. They didn't match. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, things don't go the way we thought. The Sunday before we left for Sevierville, Tennessee, and polishing the pulpit, I got up Sunday night and I said, "This sermon is this thing I cannot do, but I'll introduce the subject now, but when I come back from PTP, I'll preach the lesson." As I looked at the Sunday sermons that I sent in for the secretaries to put in the bulletin, I couldn't help but laugh. Despite our best efforts, sometimes all we can do is smile. Sunday morning lesson, the one I'm about to preach, rising above life's challenges. Rising above life's challenges. Doesn't that have a good ring to it? I hope that you're already encouraged by it. I really do. Followed by the Sunday night lesson, this thing I cannot do. Rising above life's challenges, this thing I cannot do. Isn't that the way life sometimes is for us? All of the challenges and the difficulties of life are platforms. All the challenges and the difficulties of life are platforms for us to display God's grace, God's strength, God's goodness. That will give us an entirely different perspective on how we view challenges and difficulties. Every challenge, every difficulty is a platform for God to display His grace, His strength and power, His goodness and love through us. And if we sincerely look at life's challenges and difficulties that way, God will be honored and glorified, and we will be immeasurably blessed, even when we're not at our very best. I've worked with this congregation now for 24 years. And if someone would say, Mike, would you tell me why you love Westside so much as a congregation? I can do that hands down. It's a no-brainer. Westside is a group of people, the people of God, who have learned repeatedly to put our trust in the faithfulness of God. And that's what makes this a beautiful place to be. People of God who have learned to put their trust in the faithfulness of God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, we have learned what Jeremiah is speaking about in Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. And when you think about the context of Lamentations, Jerusalem is in ruins. And yet there is an emphasis on the faithfulness of God. Every good thing that the church has been challenged to do over the years here at Westside, challenge after challenge, work after work, we have been able to achieve some great things, but we haven't achieved it. God has. And He's just chosen to work through a group of people who believed in His faithfulness. As long as we keep that mindset, as long as we keep that mentality, it is amazing what God can do through us. It really is. Just over 2 months ago, we let the congregation know that there would be a shepherd selection process, that one of our two current elders, Brother Lynn Mayfield, saw the need for stepping aside because of health considerations. At that point, Brother Pafford Terry asked the entire congregation to pray daily, to pray weekly for the shepherd selection process. 7 sermons later, a Sunday night that we gave completely to prayer and to praise about the matter of shepherd selection, names were submitted. A number of men allowed their names to be submitted, but graciously withdrew their names for whatever reason, but they wanted what was best for the church and for their family at this time. And now we come to this day. And we come to a day where, by God's grace and by God's strength and by God's goodness, 3 additional men will begin serving with our current elders. And all we can do is thank God. The way we approached this initially were rules of engagement. And I believe that the members of the congregation here at Westside truly sought to honor God and Scripture in the rules of engagement. We talked about wanting to do what was best for the church. We talked about respecting the Word of God greatly. And as I have visited with individuals in the congregation, I was repeatedly astounded at how well and how much this is what people wanted to do. And all I could do was praise God. And so on this day, in a few moments from now, Carl Ivanhoe, Milton Larry, and Troy Patton will be installed as additional elders with Lynn Mayfield and Terry Pafford. Thank you to the church. Thanks be to God most of all. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the passage Roger read for us, verses 57 and 58. I need to relate this specifically to the church here and especially to the additional elders that God has blessed us with as we've looked at His Word, sought to honor Him throughout this process, and now a time has come where additional men will be serving. When you look at 1 Corinthians 15, most people who know much about 1 Corinthians know that this is the great resurrection chapter. That is true. But when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what you're going to see is that the law is the defeated foe. Death is the defeated foe. Sin is the defeated foe. All through Jesus Christ and especially His resurrection. The law, sin, and death are defeated foes, all due to Jesus and His resurrection. So what's next? If the law and sin and death are defeated foes, that seems to be the big three. What's next? Verse 57. Thanksgiving and praise. Verse 58, what's next? What's next? Exhortation and trust. To the West Side congregation, what's next? Now that we've gone through a shepherd selection process, nobody got killed, nobody got bloodied up, too bad. Nobody's had their names dragged through the mud. God has been honored. What's next? Thanksgiving and praise. What's next? Exhortation and trust. Look at the passage with me. Verse 57. But thanks be. If you mark in your Bibles, put this down. Gratitude. But thanks be. And then notice the next expression. But thanks be to God. What you've got is a description. But thanks be to God. And then it says, who gives us. Thanks be to God. The word for thanks is the word for grace. You know, here in Texas, before a meal, we say grace, don't we? Grace be to God. And this is just a jubilant, triumphant exclamation. He's given us victory over the law, a law that no one could perfectly keep except the Son of God. And Jesus is the end of the law, and He redeems us from the curse of the law. Romans 10 and verse 4. Galatians 3 and verse 13. He is the one who gives us victory over sin. Hebrews 2, 14 through 17. He is the one, Jesus is the one, to the praise of the Father. Thanks be to God. There's the direction. And then He says, gives us. Gives. Past tense, present tense, future tense. Which is it, y'all? Who gives? It's present. Although the resurrection of the dead has yet to occur, the victory God gives in Jesus is so real, so substantive, so sure, so assured. The present tense can be used. Who gives us victory? We didn't earn the victory. The credit doesn't go to us. The credit goes to the one who sees us through all of the challenges and the difficulties, like not being able to keep the law, not avoiding sin, enduring death. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Now notice this, the agency. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that in 1 Corinthians 15:57? Praise and thanks to God the Father who gives us victory over all of life's challenges and difficulties through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King. Jesus, our Savior, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who came to deal with the law and sin and death. And here's the idea. And we recently had the Olympics. And sometimes there's such enthusiasm and excitement when a team is victorious that they are racing around, hugging one another and embracing one another because together we have achieved victory, and praise and thanks are being given. But in the church, the body of Christ, the praise and thanks are ultimately given to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But still, we can all still be overjoyed. We come to services and we hug one another because we're glad to see each other, and we are brothers and sisters. We're part of God's family. We're loved. What's next when God sees us through challenges and difficulties? Thanks and praise are always next. And it's not the type of thing where we pat ourselves on the back. We love ourselves. We think we're grand. We go on dates. We hold our hands. We're not that self-absorbed. A lot of people are. The thing about our God is He seems to delight in seeing us through challenging circumstances that we would have never made it through unless we relied on Him. Now look at verse 58. If 57 is about thanks and praise, verse 58 deals with what's next. Rising above life circumstances. What you have here is an inference. Most translations begin with a word like therefore. Therefore. Then he goes on and he gives an address. He gives an address. He says, as beloved brothers, as beloved brethren. Then there's an exhortation that consists of three parts. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then notice the passage. There's a basis for this exhortation to be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Here is the basis for the exhortations. You know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How encouraging that must have been to the Corinthian congregation that, you know what, wasn't living up to the best. You and I don't always live our very best. And we need to be reminded to thank God and praise Him. We need to be exhorted to keep our trust in Him and keep becoming more like Jesus, God's dear Son. Keep looking at the passage with me. Be steadfast. I love the three exhortations. And what this has to do with, think of Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. Now we live if we hold fast to God. Paul would write to the Thessalonians. But here, be steadfast, he writes to the Corinthians. Be settled. Be settled. Be securely situated. Make sure that your seats are in the upright position and that you have your safety belts on. That's what they tell us when we're on board airplanes. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. The only way one's really going to be safe and secure from all alarms is by leaning on Jesus. Steadfast, settled, securely seated. And look at the next expression, immovable. Undisturbed, unshakable, and a word that I like really well for immovable is this, unflappable. Some people in their lives, when you encounter a problem, a challenge, a difficulty, the initial response is a reaction, and it's that we're shaken. Our world is rocked. It can even be a wonderful thing. There's Scott Allen. There's our brother Abe over there. Blessed little ones just entered their home. Guess what? Your world's just got rocked. It really has. And it's a tremendous blessing. But it'll shake you. It'll transform you. Be steadfast and unshakable in the Lord. Steadfast, immovable, and then notice the two terms that are put together in the third exhortation. Always abounding. You talk about a challenging expression. Always abounding. Not sometimes, not often. Always abounding. When I'm tired, when I'm not at my best, the need to thank and praise God and to be exhorted to keep on trusting Him. Always abounding. Epaphroditus was described as one who was abounding in God's work. Philippians 2, 25 through 30. Paul prays that the Ephesian brethren might abound in every good thing. Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8. Always abounding in the work. In the work of the Lord. Victory comes in the work of the Lord, His work. And we are to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, our work for Him. In the work of the Lord. Remember this. Even when we are not at our best, even when we are facing challenges and circumstances that might shake us somewhat. Remember this. No sincere deed ever done in the name of the Lord is wasted or a failure. No sincere deed ever done in the name of the Lord is a wasted deed or a failure. It's only wasted or failed if we fail to do them and if we waste the opportunity. Because look at the last part of verse 58. You know. Knowing what? Here is this elaboration. You can be steadfast and immovable and want to be always abounding in the work of the Lord because you know by experience. God has shown time and time and time again in your life that when you sincerely want to love and serve Him, it's not wasted, it's not a failure, because God will never forget what's done in love in His name. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. He'll never forget it. You need to know that, Paul writes through the Spirit. Your labor is not in vain. Catch that. Your labor is not in vain. It's not for nothing. It's not a big zilch, a big zero. When you want to be a person who is abounding in the work of the Lord, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what? I can't help but think about Ecclesiastes, where one of the key words of the book is vanity or emptiness. You see what Paul's talking about? He says, not in vain. Paul talks about victory, not vanity, not emptiness. And no good work done sincerely in the name of Jesus ever flops or fails. God sees it and knows and remembers. Your labor. Mark that word, labor. It means fatigue. As Christians, sometimes we get tired, don't we? Mamas of small children, you ever get tired? Dad working extra hours to try to make ends meet for your family, you get tired? Maybe you're not at your best sometimes at home. Not in vain. Not in vain. Victory. Paul holds before our eyes that because of God, due to God in Christ, life is not vain and empty. Life is rich and we are victorious. As we conclude, look at 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. If you've checked out for the last 22 minutes, shame on you. We were having a great time, but come on back. Because I hope you'll get this. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58 tell every Christian what they need to realize. Due to God in Christ, we have everything we need. That's what he says. Due to God in Christ, we have everything we need. Due to God in Christ, we're loved. We're beloved brothers and sisters. We need to realize that, and that's how we need to treat each other. We're loved by God, and we ought to love one another. And because of this, we also are family. Due to God in Christ, we're loved, and we're family. The passage deals in verse 58 with what we're to be. What we need to realize, what we need to be, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But realize, even when we're not, that there's a God we can go to in gratitude and praise and draw closer to Him when we're not at our best. Aren't you glad God is always at His best? That says so much about our God. And think about the fact that every challenge and difficulty is an opportunity for God to put on a platform His grace, His goodness, and His strength and His love, and to display it for everyone to see through us. And then what God wants us to know. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. What He wants every Christian to realize, what He wants every Christian to be, and what He wants every Christian to know. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you know what? Today's proof. We gather to worship God, and we are saying, God, You are worthy of praise. God, we thank You for all You've done for us in Jesus. You have made us family, and we love You, and we love one another. We want to be people of great faithfulness, who are steadfast, immovable, and always abounding. And some of us are here, and maybe you're going through all kinds of challenges in your life. And for those about to become elders, welcome to the wonderful world of shepherding. There are going to be challenges and difficulties that are abundant, but God is greater than the challenges and the difficulties. Hear me, Troy. Hear me, Carl. Hear me, Milton. And God will bless you when you seek to serve Him. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. If you can't get encouraged with 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58, something's wrong with your encouragement button. Keep punching it over and over until it clicks in and works. If you're not a Christian, through faith, repentance, and baptism, respond to the good news of Jesus. Out of gratitude for God and what He's done in Jesus, you will be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins because you believe He is the Son of God, Jesus, and because you've repented of those sins. He deals with sin and death completely. You cannot go to heaven unless you have your sins dealt with by Jesus. Is that simple enough? You cannot go to heaven unless you have your sins dealt with by Jesus. And you are not ready to die unless you have your life dealt with by Jesus. Let us stand.